Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Grateful, thankful, and as always blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in God's word. And there is none like our God. God is there for us through good, through bad, through thick, through thin. He will never leave us or forsake us because we stand on his word. And when we stand on the word of God, everything else falls into place. Everything. And sometimes we won't get asking for right now. We'll get it when we need it. You know, there are those that are in need right now. But understand, God knows your desires. God knows your needs. God knows everything about you. You don't have to worry. You don't have to stress. You don't have to strain. You don't have to do anything. But get on your knees. Get on your knees. The Carolyn sends her words out every day. And there's always a word through the week where she talks about getting on your knees. Giving whatever the situation is to God. And I remember last Friday, her word was, when life gives you more than you can stand, kneel. When life gives you more than you can stand, kneel. And that's what we must do, kneel. Because God hears you, hears you. Pray and don't lose heart is our title for today. Coming out of Luke chapter 18. And I tell you, God answers prayer. I have been a hot, sick mess over these last few days. And God woke me up yesterday and said, go to the doctor again. And I went. And everything that God had already shown me that I had bronchitis, you know, that sinus goes into bronchitis in my situation sometimes. But I had not been given the medicine that I needed to get better. And so yesterday to the doctor, and I got the medicine that I needed. And I can tell you, I slept so good last night. The best sleep I've had in a week. And God said, all you had to do was listen. You know, and I'm thinking, yeah, you know, everything is not always as it appears on it. You just have to listen. So I had to listen. And I'm just going to not tell you a story. I waited till my goddaughter got back so I could see her. And when I saw her, man, everything right in place. I go back to work on Wednesday, and I'm grateful because I love my job. I love what I do because I know that I do it for God and that I honor him in all that I do. You know, I am one, and I know many will say, oh, that's just stupid, that will give their last because Jesus. So who are we? We're not better than God. Because I tell you what, and I get filled up, but I know that everything that I do for God, God gives it back to me. Because I do it with a heart that is open. My blessing and what God has done for me is to be a blessing. He has blessed me to be a blessing. He has blessed many of you to be a blessing. We can't hold everything we got. As I ain't giving this away. I ain't giving that away. Whatever you got, you can't take with you. It's going to all be here. Pastor Jesse spoke on that yesterday. This going to all be right here when you gone. All your stuff and it's not going to mean a doggone thing. Ours, temporarily. For all the billionaires and almost trillionaires out there, all that money that you hoarding instead of giving to your employees so that they can live a good life, you can't take it with you. And who's to say your family will be here long enough to enjoy it if you have one? All that hoarder spirit, all that I got, it's mine, cannot get you anywhere but to table. I didn't know I was going to preach this morning, but I just got to say what God has put on my heart. Woke me up this morning. Pray and don't lose heart in what God showed me. And it was dealing with the widow who has kept going back and back to that dude till she wore him down because she had been done wrong. We all know in our lives some of us have been done wrong. Well, you got to give that situation, you got to give that problem, you got to give all that stuff that's in your heart to God and let God handle your problems today. I'm thankful this morning that I listened to God and got up and went to the doctor because I wanted to make sure that something had not gone wrong. And God, but God, I thank him, love him, and I will do whatever he says do. And that's what we have to have in our heart. Whatever God tells me to do, that's what I'm going to do. And we have to do it. Just do it, like the little Nike swoosh says. We have to have a just do it in our hearts. Whew, thank you, Jesus, this morning. So let's get into our prayer today, and let's go before the throne and give it all to God today and trust that it is all well with our hearts, minds, and souls. Father God in heaven, I come to you this morning, believing and trusting that all is well. Father God, for you said, pray from our heart. Give our situations to you. Look up, because Jesus is not coming from the left or right or north or the south. He's not here. Look up and you'll know when he's coming. But there's so many things that will happen before his coming. We just got to be ready. Father God, I thank you this morning for just giving me peaceful rest, for waking me up, for guiding me, for giving me a heart to give. But Lord, you are in control of the gift. Father God, I thank you for this mighty word this morning. I thank you for our sister in Christ who just reminds us to kneel. Hallelujah, when you can't stand any longer. Father God, you are holding us up. You are those footprints in the sand. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your sacrifice for me. I thank you for your intercession for me. I thank you for your grace and your mercy toward me. And for me, Lord, I mean all of us. I stand in the gap this morning for all the listeners today, Lord God, asking you to give them overflow blessings. For you know what each one needs. You know what each one has come before you with petition for, whether it's healing, for it, whether it's just food to eat, whether it's hope and helplessness, whatever the need is, God, whether it's food or shelter or income, Lord, you know who's lost their job. You know who needs employment. You know about your children, God. And I ask you, Lord, to please guide them where you need them to go. Please provide what they need to pay their rent, to pay their mortgages, to make their car payments. God, you know everything. You know all our needs. You know all our desires. You know everything about us, Lord. And, Father, I lift up my hand to thee. No other help I know. Whoo, hallelujah. Please do not withdraw your help from me. Lord God, we got to have a David in our spirit where we are repentant. Lord, forgive us for any sins we have committed in thought, any sins we have committed in deed against your divine majesty. Father God, I lift up this word to you today, asking you, Lord God, to increase as I decrease. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For, Lord God, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. You are my help. You are my hope, the love of my life. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, as I lift this word up in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice again for all of us. We are here because you gave your life for us. Hear our prayers, O Lord. And you know our desires and you know our needs. Provide the needs, O God. And if it is your will, provide some of the desires, as long as they are desires to spend more time with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Whew. Thanking God this morning for this great word. Thanking God for each and every one of you who are up and about getting ready for work in some instances, getting ready to do what you must do for the Lord. In some instances, I pray traveling grace for those that are traveling the highways and the byways, going to and from, you know, work. Cause I say some are going from work because many work midnight. Lord, you know all that is going on. And Lord, you know every day what I'm seeing. Lord, I don't know what your will is, but I ask you, Father, just guide me. Just lead me. Just show me your way. In Jesus' name I pray. Again, I pray this seems to be on my lips this morning, lifting up the name of Jesus. And we're going to come today from from the 50th Psalm, and we'll be going from 50th Psalm, verses 7 through 51st Psalm, 1 through 6. And we will also, so that it's the 50th Psalm through the 51st Psalm, verses 1 and 6, we'll be in Proverbs chapter 14, starting at verse 28 to Proverbs to the 32nd verse. So we'll start at Proverbs 14, verses 28 through 32. And then we will be in Luke chapter 17, and chapter 18 up to verse 23. And again, just a repentant heart. And to know that we must what? Not lose heart. Pray and not lose heart. Believe and know that your daddy God has got you. Pray, family. Pray for our planet. Pray for our world. Pray for peace. Pray for the homeless. Pray for those that are in need of mental health. Help. Pray for all of us. We all need prayer. We all need God. We all need help and hope. We all need Jesus. And our song for this morning says, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats out of your folds, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the mountains, wild beasts of the field are mine. For if I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God thanksgiving. Woo! Can I say that again? Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Call upon me in the day of trouble. What Sister Carolyn say? When you can't stand, kneel. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. Whew, Jesus, thank you, Lord. I'm going to say that again because that is what we have to do when we pray. We are calling upon the Lord and we cannot lose heart. Call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. Not glorifying anybody, but God. Hallelujah. We glorify the Father because it is the Father that blesses us. It is the Father that curses us. It is the Father that takes our life and gives us eternal life. It is the Father that does it, not man, but God. And it tells us, but to the wicked, God says, what right have you to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth, seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind you? When you saw a thief, you consented with him. Come on now. And have been a partaker with adulterers. You have your mouth. Ooh, you give your mouth to evil. And your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done that I was altogether like you. But I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. Don't play. Do not play. You better honor your father and your mother. I don't care what kind of daddy you got. I don't care what kind of mama you got. You better honor them. They may not appreciate anything you do, but you honor them anyway. You pray for them. You lift them up. Don't vilify. Don't tear down. You don't know their story because you all know that in my generation, they didn't tell it. They didn't tell their story. So you go to, they go to their grave with their secrets. But you got children out there hating their mamas and hating their daddies and hating their grandparents and hating this person and hating that person. God is love. And when you love God and when you respect those that love you and take care of you, watch God work in your life. I am so grateful in my life. I am thankful. Every day I thank God because I had great parents and I had a great mother who allowed me to live with my godparents who raised me with her. She was my godmother, was my great-great-aunt. And most people didn't know it because it was one of those things you just didn't tell people your business. So for all those folks wondering, why didn't they take her in? Because she was my auntie and she loved me and she loved my mother. You know, folks want to make you into a foster child. You know, she a foster child? No, I wasn't a foster child. I was just a child that was loved. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for all, as my husband called them, the Paducah ladies that were part of my village, that were there for my mom, that was there for me, that was there for my godparents. My godmother got sick, and she did not spend not one day in a nursing home. Not one. Because my godfather took care of her at home, which is why I do what I do. which is why I work in senior care, because I want to be able to let a senior home. And if they want to pass, they can pass in their home with someone holding their hand. Because God put me in position to be a prayer warrior for seniors and to be there for seniors, because that it was seniors that raised me. And I'm paying it forward and paying back all the blessings that I have. So when people want to look at you and say, well, you have a degree. Why didn't you retire? Why are you doing that? You are up there. You are this. You are that. Titles mean absolutely nothing. It's what do you do for God that means the most? And what do you do from your heart? Do you pray? Do you take care of? You know, I give kudos to all those husbands out there and all those wives out there who are taking care of their loved ones, that they don't spend one day with somebody else taking care of them. To children who take care of their parents or get someone like me to come in and take care of their parents and loved ones. Because I tell you, when you go to someone that loves God first, make sure whoever you allow in your home to take care of the people you love, that they love God first. Because when they love God, they will do what God says they need to do. We got to love God. And we got to trust God. And we got to know that it's all working for our good. And as we continue in our work this morning, and I thank you, David, for this word. And I'm going to start it back again, verse number 16. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth, seeing you hate instructions and cast my words behind you? When you saw a thief, you consented with him and have been a partaker with adultery. You give your mouth to evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silent. You thought that I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoever offers praise glorifies me. Whew, thank you, Jesus. And to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of, whew, hallelujah, Jesus knows. He is in charge. He gave his life for me. He gave his life for you. We are, whew, the perpetuation of Christ in our praise, in our worship, in what we do, in our prayers. Hallelujah. Pray. Pray, 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 and pray some more. Don't lose heart. Psalm, the 51st Psalm, verses 1 through 6. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba, to Bathsheba, an adulterer, let's call it what it is, David lost his ever-loving mind and did not use the head on his head that God gave him. You know, he allowed the enemy to sneak in like a sneaky snake and get him off his way. Because David was a righteous man. David loved God, but David was a hot mess and lost his mind over this woman. She must have been real pretty taking that bath over there on that top of that roof. She must have been something else to protect her, because he got all hot and bothered and did not care that she was married. Not only married, but married to one of his faith, a man who came back from the field but refused to go into his wife because nobody else out there was being able to do it. He was staying clean for God. He was staying clean to do the job that his commander-in-chief had asked him to do. Because David was trying to be sneaky, dirty dog. Let's call it right. I'm going to bring Uriah in, and then he can go into her, and then we'll just pretend that he is the daddy, and nobody will know that I did what I did. And it didn't happen that way. It didn't happen that way because he was an honorable man. But David was not honorable. He was not honorable when he went into this married woman, when he committed adultery. He was not honorable. But one thing I say this, when you talk about David, David repented. David went to God. David got on his knees. David accepted the punishment that came his way. And he did not rest. He did not have a peaceful kingship. He ran from his son. Well, he ran from Saul first. Then he had to run from his own son. And he cared. And he had to get told off because he was caring more about his son who wanted to take his kingdom than he was about the people and his soldiers that were fighting for him. And he got put in check. You know, people will put you in check when you're not doing right as a leader. And David was given the parable by Nathan of the man with the little youth that he loved that was almost a part of his family, that he took care of and kept safe. And then there was a rich man that had many youths, that had many cattle, had everything he needed. But instead of using his own stuff when he had a guest, he went and got the other man's one possession, this little youth, and slaughtered it. And David was ready to go. I'm going, he's dying. He just did it. And then Nathan looked at him and said, that was you. Because he not only took Bathsheba, another man's wife, but had her husband murdered to cover. If God will punish us, but God will also accept our repentance. So let's read the word and see what's going on. And this is David repenting to God. Have mercy upon me, O God. And we need to say that. We need to go to this 51st Psalm when we're going through our own dirt. When we're doing our own thing that's not right. Let's say it together. Have mercy, because all of us have sinned and fall short. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sins. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, in the hidden parts you will make me to know wisdom. Praise God. And this life example, David, a case study in repentance. When what happens when we sin and delay our repentance are their consequences. When David committed adultery with Bathsheba, he didn't repent immediately. Only sometime later did David admit to his sin. And even then, he didn't do it on his own accord. God had to send a prophet to confront him. And we'll see that in 2 Samuel, verse chapter 12. Only after Nathan's visit did David confess his sin and then repent of it. God's discipline followed in a severe form, perhaps so severe because of David's failure to repent sin. And what was the severity? It was the death of the child he conceived with Bathsheba. That baby died. because of his parents' sin. If you and I deal with our sin genuinely, openly, and immediately, God can lessen the severity of our discipline. This makes sense in the light of the nature of discipline. Discipline is designed to get us to change, to obey. If God sees that we want to cooperate and that we have proposed in our hearts to obey the next time, then stern discipline is not usually needed. Repent. When you mess up, clean up, as my pastor said. We got to clean up. We got to do some house cleaning. We got to get to work because our time is at hand. God said, I'm coming back, and you don't know when. And we want to have a clean house. Hallelujah. So let's get busy, y'all. We got to clean this temple that God has generously given each of us. We got to clean our kingdom house because God is coming home. And we want to be a good steward and take care of what he has given us. Ooh, that was for me. I don't know about y'all, but I know that was for me. Proverbs 14, verse 28. In a multitude of people is a king's honor, but in the lack of people is a downfall of plenty. Let's read that again. In a multitude of people is a king's honor, but in the lack of people is the downfall of a plenty. Ooh, God is in charge of everything. 14th Proverb in verse 29. He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. We cannot envy what somebody else is doing or have. Give that stuff up and give it to God. He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who honors him has mercy on the needy. The wicked is banished in his wickedness, but the righteous as a refuge in his death. Wow, what a great word. Let's go back and get some life lessons from our Psalm and Proverb words. And as we go through in our Proverbs this morning is this, he who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. And this is a life lesson from Dr. Stanley. And for those that are just joining us, I am coming out of the Charles Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And it is a 365 Bible study that we are doing this year. And it has been awesome. So when I say life examples, life lessons, those are coming from Dr. Stanley. And it says, it may feel good for a short while to vent your anger at someone, but the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. James 1 and 20. Failure to control a quick temper leads only to heartache. Wow. I don't know who that's for this morning, but you need to check that. We all do. You know, it's easy to get mad. It's easy to want to go off. It's easy to want to give somebody a piece of your mind. But I tell you this, if you give them a piece of your mind, then you're lacking a piece of your mind. And you might need it down the road. So don't give up anything. Don't give up a piece of nothing. Unless it's doing something to help somebody. But you can't tell, I'm going to tell her all about herself. I'm getting in his face. I'm gonna let him know he ain't this, she ain't that, da 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 da. And by the time you finish, what have you accomplished? But somebody that may hate you, somebody that may distrust you, somebody that may talk about you, somebody that may vilify you, you have created an enemy instead of a friend. Because you just have to, quote unquote, keep it real. We need to be careful with our keep it real selves. We need to go, as they say, when you can't stand, get on the knees. Thank you again, Sister Carolyn. You know, that word stuck out in my heart last week because I was going through, and I said, okay, God, what? And I did, and I'm grateful because I'm feeling better, and I know that it was God. I know that I'm better because of God. And my baby's healing hands. Thank you, Lord, for giving that child a brilliant brain. I mean, she was able to come up and tell everything that I needed to do that should have been done. She knew what to do, and I'm grateful. I am so grateful for this child that God has placed in my life. So thank you so much. Psalm 51:4, against you, you only have I sinned. David had sinned against Uriah by committing adultery with his wife, which we talked about earlier when the repentance in the life lesson. He had sinned against his people, yet all sin is ultimately against God and requires his forgiveness. God knows who all we done sinned against. God knows who we done talked about. God knows everything about us. God knows the secrets you keep. Because he is God. Come on now. And Jesus is right there, interceding, standing up for you, asking the Lord to forgive you for your transgressions. We are blessed beyond measure to have a Savior. And as we get into our word, the Savior is speaking this morning. And we need to take heed. We need to listen to what Jesus has to say. And then I'll have some life lessons, and then a prayer, so we will be done. Because God has given this to us. And now I understand, as I go through today's word, why God gave me the word the way he did it. Because on Friday, we did a regular lesson. And then yesterday, we did the Old Testament. And today, we're doing the New Testament and Psalm and Proverbs. And so I understand now why God has given it to us this way. This word this morning is for somebody. And God is saying that I needed to give it today. So I'm thankful to the Lord. He just put that in my heart. This word is for someone who's listening today. God hears you. God hears you. God sees you. God knows your desires and God knows your needs. So then he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed. Listen, that's important. Take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times, in the day, and 7 times in the day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Because I know they was like, well, I ain't hard to do. I'm going to forgive him 7 times in a day. But we all know that when we go to the other gospels, it says that you forgive 70 times 70. 490 times a day, you got to forgive. Lord, that's hard. And that's when the disciples said, well, wait a minute, apostle. Then 12 said, wait a minute, hold on. Increase our faith, because that's hard. Y'all know it's hard. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it will obey you. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterwards you shall will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise, you, when you have done all those things, which you have commanded, say, profitable servants, we have done what was our duty to do. What? Now, it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were clean. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Bam. Y'all caught that, right? The outsider was the one that came back and said, thank you. It wasn't the peers. It wasn't the people that were like Jesus. It was the one that was different that came back and got on his knees and said, thank you. Again, it's not always the folks that are in the church every Sunday morning with their hats on and the gloves and their purses and the shoes to match, looking church clean, as they say. They just expect. And I'm talking because I'm one of those folks that are in church when I can be there, God willing. Cain, I'm on watching. I can count probably on, in the last almost 20 years since I rededicated my life back to Christ, that I missed church. Not a lot. Not a lot. Because when I gave myself back to Christ, when I went in the water, when I repented of my sins, when I said, Lord, your will in my life, gave back me to him. Because I'm one of them firstborn that belong to God. And I tell you, I haven't looked back. Yes, I've lost a lot, but I haven't looked back. I'm grateful because I've gained more of God. We got to give to God what belongs to God, which is us. And we got to repent, and we've got to keep on coming. You don't lose heart, family. And I love this. So Jesus answered and said, where there not 10 coins, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this woman? And he said to him, arise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. Jesus says that to the faithful all through the word. Your faith has made you well. And I say to those out there that are just needing, your faith has made you well. Now when he was, thank you, Lord, because I know that I'm feeling better because of faith that God will show me what to do. Thank you, Jesus. Whew, thank you, Jesus. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, but indeed the kingdom of God is within you. Bam. Not my words, the words of the Savior. The kingdom of God is in you, your soul. Then he said to the disciples, the days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look here or look there. Do not go after them or follow them. For as the lightning that flashes out under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They eat, they drink, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, God, he who was on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down, them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, in that night, there will be two men in one bed. The one will be taken, and the other will be left. Two women will be grinding together. The one will be taken, and the other left. Two men will be in the field. The one will be taken, and the other left. And they answered and said to him, "Where, Lord?" So he said to them, "Wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together." Oh, Jesus, what a word. And our title for this morning is coming out of Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 23. And this is our word. It says, "Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart." That's our word for this morning. Pray and not lose heart. We don't want to lose heart because we're praying. Pray and don't lose heart is what God has given me for us today. It says, "There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God, nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, 'Get justice for me from my adversary.' And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, 'Though I do not fear God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me.'" Not about her, not about God, it's all about me. That's that judge's attitude. And let's call it straight, it's a lot of judges' attitudes. How many people get justice? And it says, "Then the Lord said, 'Hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" Wow. Will we have, do we have that kind of faith that when Jesus comes, he will find us faithful? I pray so, that we do not lose heart. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Come on now. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess, and the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." We must be humble. We've got to be humble to God. We got to repent. We're not great and mighty. We're all sinners, saved by grace, saved by the blood of Jesus. "Then they also brought infants to him that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him and said, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them kingdom of God. Surely I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And children are like sponges. I am so grateful that God sent me back into children's ministry. Children are sponges for the word of God. We got to give the word. You know, it's so easy to do all the arts and the crafts and the this and the that, but we have got to give the word so that they know that they learn something when they walk out the door of scripture in their heart. Something is there for them to remember that they can take with them to fight. But kids are fighting today, but they are fighting faith because they need Jesus. When children are stabbed and murdered and suing, kids think they got to take a gun to protect themselves from the bullies of this world. Bullies are reflections of their parents. So parents, you got a bully child, do some self-reflection. If your child is going to school and they the bully, do some self-reflection. Because so many times the bully parents are the ones that want to talk about the other child. Well, they did this to my child. No, your child's been beating the mess out of this child every day. And their parents have been coming to and from the school, but because you have more money than they do, your kid escaped. And I'm just calling it like it is. I saw it. I had a child that was bullied. I had a child that was called a terrorist. I had a child that had so low esteem because of bullying, not only by his peers, but by those that were in charge, that my baby didn't even want to hold his head up because he was little. I tell you this, but God, woo, and a daddy that loved him. He had a father, and his dad said, okay, this is it, no more. We prayed. I tell you, God will send you angels in your life. I remember praying on my knees, crying out to God for my child. And God, and I kept hearing about this school. Every day it would be like something was about this school. Or I would open the newspaper and this school was there. And when we did, his life changed. I'm not going to say he didn't continue going through, because when he got to junior high, he got right back with the bullies. But I tell you one thing, God blessed this child to graduate from college. After all the stuff he went through, to graduate from college without owing one penny of debt. That's God. Don't tell me what God can do. And when I see this child, he goes to church. He's the God. And I thank you all for the prayers that have blessed this child. Because nobody knows his story but him and God. And it goes on to tell us this. Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one. That is God. Because remember, Jesus was here in the flesh, so he was man. He was man with all of our sinful selves. He was all of us. So he said, I'm not good. Only one is good, and that is God. No one is good but one. That is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. There it is, that big word that all pastors want to go over. They don't talk about adultery. But boy, they will show kid abortion, and they will hit the LGBTQ community. They will beat them, and they will beat the person. They will beat. But they don't touch adultery because a whole bunch of them are adulterers. Do not murder. Do not steal. Some of them are stealing, too, from the body of God. Do not bear false witness. Come on now. Honor your father and your mother. And when we talk about honoring our father and our mother is God. Whew, Jesus. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. And when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And that is our word for this morning. And a few life lessons from the book of Luke. And the first is, he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. And that's our one for today. There may be many reasons why God does not always answer your prayers quickly, but until he lets us know that we should stop praying about something, he calls us to persevere in our prayers. So pray without ceasing and don't lose heart. And a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. This has just been a rich word today. Who has touched my heart? And the word for this dip morning, don't let anyone set you off today. She all up in the message, isn't she? Be at peace. Remember, God is on your side. Have a mellow mind Monday. Thank you, Sister Carolyn. M&M Monday. Mellow minded Monday. Again, I'm going to say this to somebody. I don't know who it's for, but I tell you this. Don't let anyone set you off today. Be at peace. Remember, God is on your side. And that is our word. I have a prayer this morning and a thought, something to think about today as we wrap up our word this morning. And the something to think about is born of pain. May this my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. John 15 and 12, NASB version. Merciful God, your love is unmatched in its tenacity. All those in its path with its wonderful life-giving properties. There is no expiration date on the effects of your affliction. You don't call us to lifestyle that you did not live first. Your example of loyal love is the measure that we set our lives against. Your commandment that we love each other the way that we have been loved by you is only possible through your grace that empowers us. You set the bar high, Jesus. I see in my own life how short I fall of your devoted love. Thank you for grace that covers the many times I fail in this. And thank you for the example that I have to look to. Your love never fails, of that I am sure. May I look like you in the way I love the people around me. And the word for today to think about, what does it mean to love Jesus? And I pray before all of you, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And again, I say, pray and don't. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. Thank you for joining, moving forward this morning. Come join us again, God willing, tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, for God is in charge of everything. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.